Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's a Friday morning, and we're glad you're here on the show with us this morning. Mark Cox here, along with Kem St. Ange and Carl Middleman and Sue Thomas, probably getting herself a cup of tea right now and getting ready for a little bit of a wild ride. Before this show is over, all of that rain they've been talking about is going to hit the metro area, just so you know. Sometime between, I don't know, it's already sprinkling out west, but sometime between 8 and 9 this morning, I believe, the heaviest stuff will be here, maybe a little earlier than that. So we'll keep you up to date on traffic, because inevitably it's gonna screw up the morning for somebody.
Hopefully the naked man you saw sitting downtown yesterday morning praying or talking to himself, I hope he found shelter with the storms coming.
Can I just explain for a moment the amount of vitriol and hatred I got for daring to point out what goes on in downtown St. Louis on a daily basis? Why can't you be more positive? Why do you hate downtown so much? Why are you so hateful? Did you stop and try to help him? Did you take your shirt off your back and put it on him? I leave work yesterday morning. I don't know what time it was, 10:15, 10:30. And I'm sitting at the stoplight at Market and 14th Street, minding my own business, trying to turn left there and get to the interstate, but down by the Enterprise Center on 14th Street. And I look to my right, and there is a naked man.
On federal ground.
I don't know. He was sitting on the sidewalk. He had spread a towel under his rear end. And he was sort of, I don't know, had his knees up, and he was making signs to the heavens and mumbling something incoherently. And I'm like, oh my God, he's completely naked. I got to get a picture of this. So I took a picture of it, right? And I took a little bit of video.
You can't. It's not like you were exposing him, by the way, because you can't
tell
see anything. Like from you said,
angle.
He's
no, you can't
from
see
that
his
angle.
Privates at all. He was sitting with his butt down and his knees up in the air together. Plus, it was a little cold out there at that point, so I don't know that you would have been able to see much to begin with. But I'm just pointing that out. So the grief I took is that I didn't get out of my truck, call 911, and put a coat around this clearly mentally disturbed individual. What was my responsibility as a citizen yesterday? What's your opinion on that? Would you have gotten out of your car and tried to help him?
No, because I would have been worried. I would have been concerned for my own safety. I understand wanting to help people. I get that whole notion of the Good Samaritan and wanting to help people. But at the same time, you have to be thinking about your safety. And
if the guy's snorting bath salts or whatever the hell he's on, I don't know. I mean, the bottom line was he wasn't hurting anyone. It wasn't cold enough for him to get hypothermia. It was in the 60s, right? It was 60 degrees at least. And he seemed to be doing his own thing. I didn't feel compelled to do anything for him. The city of St. Louis has done nothing for him. He's a well-known homeless dude who walks around the streets downtown and talks to himself. There's clearly, he's in a mental health crisis. I just pointed out that there was a naked man sitting at the corner of 14th and Market, and I queried the question. I wonder where all the social workers are that they replaced the police officers with. Oh, did that set the lefties off?
Well, it's weird because that was the hours they're supposed to work, right? 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
You don't know what you're talking about. They talked about that, but they never did it. So I went and found the story and posted it on the feed for them so they could read for themselves the name of the program that hired social workers who accompanied police to scenes to try to help with mental health cases. It is a thing. They make $50,000, $60,000 a year. They're given their own cars. They're much better taken care of than the members of our own police department. And we're 400 members down in the police department, but we've got social workers.
Also, you and I don't hate the city of St. Louis. It's not like we're trying to be negative. I think you and I love the city of St. Louis, and we're sad by where it's gone, and we're calling leaders and everybody involved who've made these decisions to lead us to where we are today, calling them to a higher standard. Like, come on, guys, let's save the city that we all love.
The point is, I do love this city. I've lived here for 30 some years. I've worked downtown for most of those 30 years. And I like so many people. I'm just frustrated to see the lack of any external voice when it comes to fixing the problems in downtown. The answer is always the same from the progressive politicians who run this city. Let's throw more money at it. We need more taxpayer money. If we just gave people more of this or more of that, that's not fixing the problem. Law enforcement fixes the problem. Putting people in mental institutions fixes the problem. Not letting the homeless live outside of your former civil courts building over here, right across from the Enterprise Center and the Keel, where we have concerts and social events all the time. Cleaning that mess up fixes the problem. But no, we need to be a softer, gentler approach. And shame on me for daring to embarrass this man.
Yeah. I mean, St. Louis just needs to do better, to be
honest. Whatever he had going on was none of my business.
He needs help, but I don't know that you should have necessarily been the one to pull your car over and try to corral him to, I don't know.
Sharing his business with the world, in fact, right about that point. So, I don't know. The video's up on the Facebook page. I put it on Twitter if you want to go there and see it. I got another version of that picture. I might have to use that this morning. We'll see. I'll get your take on it here in the break, Kim. By the way, let's take a look at our top stories. Carl Middleman, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists.
Oh, well, I'm pretty grateful. Are you pretty grateful that a guy who is one of these protesters up at Columbia just wants the public to know? You better be glad that I'm not just flat out murdering the Jews. I'm just protesting them because I'm an anti-Semite.
If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon?
The answer, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, is no, because it's never happened in 234 years of our country. Go to law school or something.
Certain presidents have engaged in various activities, and yet there were no prosecutions. Why?
What a great question from Judge Clarence Thomas. Oh, the lefties are losing their collective minds this morning that the Supreme Court sees the logic in allowing immunity for people who are in the presidency so they can't be sued for every bad decision they make the minute they leave office.
Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan, is that surprising?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turning again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
Oh, my. Yesterday, I'm listening to some pipe fitter from New York being interviewed, and he's like, I tried to do my best New York accent, and I sound like Bernie Sanders. We're not trying to get to those Trump supporters who are in our union because we're not going to change their minds. We're going to try to get to that 10 or maybe 15% so we can point out to them all the good Joe Biden's done for them. So he's effectively admitting that the majority of the people in his union are going to vote for Donald Trump. They see the fallacy in fake government spending, right? That's what the Democrats did during COVID. They threw billions of dollars at crap. Most of it went to their constituencies, which were union shops that to put up, you know, road construction jobs or whatever the case may be, but those always run out. It's a temporary fix instead of fixing the economy or taking care of people. That's all that ever is, and it leads to inflation, and when you do what you've always done, you get what you always got. And nobody knows that. And this guy is they're talking to these union leaders up there in New York, and the guy's basically admitting most of his workers might be Democrats, but this time they're supporting Donald Trump. Play cut 7, Carl, please.
In the past, we are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be. I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. Yeah. We're living it every day in New York City.
Not boding well there. They say Trump is polling within 8 or 10 points of Joe Biden right now in New York, which is just incredible with the millions of Dems they have up there. All right, quick break here. Carl Mittleman, who will be providing the national anthem on this Friday morning?
It's Friday, Mark. It's the fray.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
You know what we need on this show, Carl Mittleman?
What?
We need more Bo Matthews.
I love Bo.
We
in
do.
His thought tub.
And he's probably in his thought tub this morning before the rain hits.
He's not up yet.
So, loved having Bo on yesterday. By the way, if you missed the segment, I'm sure we have it up on demand or there on the podcast.
It's on Twitter. X.
Yeah, so he's having his big fundraiser for the Eureka Police Officers Association.
Big dog.
I believe on the 5th. Of
Cinco
May.
De Drinko.
And he's going to be doing that down at the Holiday Inn there near Six Flags. And it's a big poker tournament. And it's a lot of fun. And you pay to get in. And then they give you all the chips. And you have fun. And the drinks are on them. And you can have a great day. And you can win prizes.
And he wants Kim to go.
And
he's
trying
to raise money.
I said, I don't know how to play poker.
That does not matter.
It does
I thought it just mattered if you didn't play it well. But if you can't play it at all. I feel like that would.
I'm going just to hang out.
Prevent me from being able to play.
Carl heard free beer. Carl will be there.
There is not free beer.
There's margaritas, tacos. He said it's basically going to be a Cinco de Mayo themed spread.
There's not free beer. The drinks are on them, Carl, once you've paid your entry fee.
Oh.
Except you won't have to pay to get in, so the drinks are free, Carl.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying. That's good.
Well, then everyone should go. And
I'd love to go, but I'll be out of town.
Bo's actually thinking of getting a room out there and having a fantastic time.
Yep. They're continuing the party up there. Maybe there's a hot tub at the Holiday Inn out there, you think? That'd make him happy.
Or just cross the street and go to Hurricane Harbor.
Anyway, if you can show up, they need more people to play poker. They're trying to get their numbers up. So just go to Facebook and look up the Eureka Police Officers Association, and you can get details on how to get a ticket to that. Back to my hateful people on Twitter. Twitter is Twitter trolls are the gutter of the world. They live in the gutter. These people are hateful. Hateful people.
Yeah, if I post something on Twitter, I'm just preparing for a lot of backlash.
So I post the picture of the naked guy downtown who didn't seem to be minding his own business. It's just not something you see every day, right? I mean, you couldn't really tell who he was, and you couldn't see his private parts, so I didn't post anything that should have been offensive to anybody. It's just clear that, bear in mind what the leaders in the city of St. Louis would prefer. They would prefer to change the law so that he could pee or poop wherever he wanted to downtown without having to explain himself to anyone. So they have no problem with him being naked and sitting on the sidewalk. In fact, they'd like to provide him a permanent tent somewhere downtown where he could live.
With security.
Probably with security.
No, that wasn't that part of it. I really think it was.
Yeah, to make sure nobody harasses him.
We don't have security, but the homeless would.
People hated me. Why are you filming naked guys? It's not appropriate for you to be filming somebody sitting by there. He's clearly having a mental breakdown. Well, he's been having a mental breakdown for a long time. I'm not going to be the one that that fixes that.
I mean, the guy, it is sad in the sense that the guy clearly needs some help. It's not normal to be sitting downtown naked and talking to yourself. But I just don't know. Again, you asked me what I would do. I would not be the person to get out there and be like, hey, let me give you my shirt. I wouldn't feel safe doing that. And my comment, by the way, about we don't have security, but they do, is not a dig like, oh, we deserve security. I just mean the city's idea of what they were going to do for the homeless was ridiculous. It's not that they shouldn't have a place to stay. It's not that I want them to thrive. I want protections for them too. You know, they shouldn't be harassed, but the city has just gone completely overboard with what they want to do.
We've turned into San Francisco. Yeah. This was my favorite troll comment of yesterday from an account called God's Favorite. That's the title of the Twitter account. And you vile effing monsters are showing his poor face all over the internet. Rot in hell.
I thought I disguised myself better. Shoot. Sorry, Mark.
And he's God's favorite, telling me to rot in hell. Thank you, Jamie, back again, or whatever the hell your name is, freaking trolls. And none of them have the guts to show their face or use their real name. I do. Bring it, is what I say. Bring it. All right, Kim on a Whim, coming up. We'll be back in a minute.
Kim on a Whim. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
New York's highest court has overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction, a stunning reversal in the landmark case of the Me Too movement. In a 4-3 decision, the Court of Appeals said the trial judge's decision to allow witnesses to claim Weinstein assaulted them, but not include those witnesses' allegations in the charges, precluded Weinstein from having a fair trial.
We have to talk about this. Let me just say this, too. Harvey Weinstein is not getting out of prison. He was convicted of other charges back in 2023 and sentenced to 16 years in prison. And he's facing charges in London for two alleged offenses back in 1996. So this guy's not just walking free now that this rape conviction has been overturned. But this is a big deal because, remember, he was kind of the whole case that I think sparked this Me Too movement. Ashley Judd came forward, the actress, and she accused him of that. Since then, Harvey Weinstein has been accused of sexual assault and rape by more than 80 women.
He's a dirtbag.
And I'm sorry. Let me just say this. The Me Too movement, and Mark, you and I have discussed this before. The Me Too movement in a lot of ways was great. It gave a lot of women the courage to come forward. I've talked about things I've dealt with in my past that kind of gave me courage to do that. So in that way, it was really great. But it also, like a lot of things do, the pendulum tends to swing too far over. It opened the door, I think, for anybody to say Me Too. And people were making these accusations against men that were completely false. And it made people feel like they had no other choice but to automatically believe the accuser. It was like almost as if the guys or anybody who was being accused, it was like the instant they had that accusation, boom, you're guilty. Whether you were tried or not, you're guilty because Me Too. So that's the problem I have with this. Now, when 80 women or more than 80 women are coming forward, there's some questions. I believe Harvey Weinstein is an absolute dirtbag. I like that term that you use there. This guy needs to be locked up for a very long time. They're saying they're going to try him again, which I hope that they do, because the reasoning for this was that they let women testify about sexual encounters they had with him that were unwanted during this trial, and those women were not included in the charges. So that never should have happened, I guess. But I was a little shocked that that would be a reason to overturn it, because couldn't you use that testimony from other women to be like, this is trying to set the stage that this is kind of who, this is what he does?
Well, you could, but I mean, I've covered a lot of trials over the years. So while I'm not an attorney, I've observed a lot of attorneys, and all consistently judges have sustained objections to hearsay. I mean, anybody can get on the stand and claim anything about you if you haven't been charged or convicted in that particular incident. It would definitely sway a jury in who would believe, well, this is just your character. I mean, I'm not saying it's not his character. All I'm saying is I could see an appeals court having a problem with that, because who knows? I mean, if what he did to the one girl that he was charged with in that case was bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get 80 years because of that, or did he get 80 years because they think he did things to all these other women who testified, but he never got charged with it? That's not supposed to be how the criminal justice system works. He should have been tried in all those other cases individually. I don't know. I mean, I think they screwed up. Will they retry him? I don't know. I would hope they will. But I think that Ashley Judd claiming that the justice system has failed and all this is a little dramatic. I think that's a little dramatic. The judge in that case made a tactical error in allowing that testimony.
Well, and I wonder if the attorney was saying, you know, objection, we can't include this testimony. Like, how did it get through all of those people?
Right.
How were they, if that's, assuming that's the case, which it obviously is, because that's why it was overturned, then why did all these people who have law degrees, why did somebody step up at the time and stop it so that now they don't have to go through all of this again?
I think usually when there are objections in those cases, oftentimes the objections are made just so they have something to appeal the case on, right? I think that's probably why they do it. And I don't know how, but there were multiple women they allowed to testify,
mm-hmm.
who claimed similar problems with Harvey, but there weren't charges in those cases. So that is he said, she said kind of situation,
that
right?
That is a he said, she said, right. Because, and maybe this is where the line is, because, and like you, I've covered trials having worked as a TV reporter, and you often have a character witness. Like if somebody is accused of, say, murder, you're going to have somebody up there who can speak to, oh, they're a great person, they would never do this,
right?
And that's their opinion. That could be their mom, their friend. It's obviously going to be someone who has a favorable opinion of them, likely, if the defense attorney is calling them up to the stand. This, I guess, would be different because they're actually accusing him of a crime.
I'm not defending Harvey at all in any way, shape, or form. We're just talking about the legal aspect of the case. My favorite thing about the whole Harvey Weinstein debacle are the pictures that have popped up with his arms around all of these Hollywood bigwigs who then started fleeing from him. And they all knew what was going on all along because it was Harvey's modus operandi. If an actress wanted to get in one of his movies or do well in Hollywood, she pretty much had to go to bed with him. And I'm not defending that. It's just that all of them knew it with a wink and a nod. There's a famous photo of him posing, smiling with Oprah Winfrey and some young girl sitting between them. And the caption on the meme was, she wasn't being introduced for the reason she thought she was, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's no way that everybody didn't know what he was doing. Now, maybe it was so common in Hollywood in those days that people just thought, well, this is the way it is. So this is what you have to do.
I mentioned the other day about a situation I dealt with in college. I was involved in a Title IX investigation, and it really didn't go anywhere because I came forward and talked about it. Several other women who I knew were involved, and this man was powerful, not as powerful as Harvey Weinstein, but he had say, he had influence, and we all knew that. We knew that he could make or break our careers, essentially. At least that was how we felt at the time, right? You're 18, 19, 20, I don't know, 21 at most.
Right.
And all those other women backed off. I was the only one who was coming forward about it. And I'll guarantee you it's because those women did not want their reputations tarnish, because if people find out that you're the one trying to bring down this powerful person, people get mad.
Did anything happen?
No, he was promoted.
Oh, nice.
They completely justified why he was doing the things that he was doing. But I had people calling me. The reason I came forward was because I had people calling me saying girls are crying because they're so stressed out and frustrated with what he's doing.
And none of the rest of them had the guts to come forward.
They did initially and then backed off. One or two women actually initially talked and then said, I have to disconnect with this. The other women wouldn't even come forward.
Wow.
So I understand the frustration. And well, I guess where I'm going with all of this is I understand where it's like when someone's in a powerful position, there are things that happen where you're like, what was I thinking? I can't believe this. But I mean, Harvey Weinstein, the whole sleeping thing, like this whole situation in college was not any sort of like he was sleeping with people. It wasn't like that. This is a whole new level with Harvey Weinstein. Like this is 100 times worse. But still.
Well, he is still in jail, and he's in pretty bad health. The last picture I saw of him, he was using either in a wheelchair or he was using a walker or something to get around.
How old is he
now? So who knows how long he's going to, 72 years old.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, what the good thing is. It's, like I said in the beginning, it's not like he's going to get out. I'll be interested to see if they retry this, but he'll be in prison for a while, for years to come, because of these other charges and convictions that he's had. So it's just an interesting situation.
Yeah. Well, everybody's going to be reading about it today. Will he get? A lot of letters to the editor and all in here talking about the fact that the court made the right call, whether you like the outcome of it or not. I mean, he's not getting out of jail anytime soon. So hopefully they'll refile those charges. I don't know. By the way, if you're on the Facebook feed this morning, I went in and fixed that picture. A guy took a little bit of heat for showing the picture of the naked guy downtown yesterday. So I went in and fixed that. So go check that out on Facebook and tell me if that's appropriate or not now. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Today, folks, when folks see shovels in the ground in these projects.
What is Joe talking about there, Carl?
I do not know.
By the way, nice haircut, Carl Middleman.
Thanks.
So you're getting noticed on Facebook this morning.
Thanks, everybody. My wife said, what have you done? And I said,
what
got it
cut. What have you done?
I mean, it's a big difference.
It's short. It is very short.
Looks nice.
That's as short as I've seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I've never seen it that short.
Like three times a year.
Carl normally channels his inner hippie, but
no, it's
really
cold
trimmed
in the hockey
today.
Hockey arena. It's cold.
You're just trying to cover your ears. Is
yes.
that what you're saying? You're trying to protect your ears.
Yeah. There will be people that I see later today that will be very shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife was one of them yesterday.
Because you didn't tell her that you were going to get it chopped.
No, I told her I was getting a haircut. She's like, but she didn't think it would be this short.
I have to tell you, Kim, so we all contribute story ideas that we'd like to cover to the show each morning. And yesterday, Kim sent this out, and I had not seen this Cubs story. I saw later that it was on Fox News. How obnoxious that is.
Do you think that it is what they're saying it is, which this Cubs pitcher, by the way, he had to change his glove out because he had an American flag patch on it. And they're saying that the white on the American flag would have been distracting for the batters. So that was their reasoning then for needing to change it.
Chicken crap. Because it's only on one finger of the glove. So clearly the flag patch is very tiny. That is not going to distract the batters. Like, they're watching the ball in the guy's hand, right hand or left hand, the glove's on the other hand, and as the throwing motion goes down, the glove gets taken away from the ball. It's not facing the batters. This is just an excuse by Major League Baseball to remove the American flag.
What would be interesting is to see if you had the transgender flag patch on there, because you've got the blue, the pink, and the one white stripe down the middle of the trans flag. So how interesting would it be as an experiment to put that patch and see if they make the same ruling?
It's not the first time. Right after Stan Musial died, they tried to put a tribute to him on the backside of the pitcher's mound, and Major League Baseball made them remove that because it was inappropriate, they felt. And instead, they let – who was our woke pitcher that we traded away? I was very happy – Flaherty, wasn't it? I was very glad to see him gone. He would wear BLM socks, and he'd wear the little symbols on his shoes with things written on them. So he was able to express his opinion, but they weren't able to honor Stan Musial. So Major League Baseball has a history of this, I'm afraid. And I see it here.
My question, though, would be, I mean, uniforms are white. So is it the fact that they're saying he's flashing the glove up by his face really quickly before he throws the pitch? Is that what they're saying is distracting? Because if it's just white, uniforms are white.
I know.
So couldn't the movement of his body in that particular colored uniform be distracting?
I think it could. Maybe his skin, like if he's a white pitcher.
That's true.
That could be a problem, I would think.
That's a very good point, Mark.
This guy had an American flag patch on his glove and a Cubs patch on the black piece of equipment, which it would be the glove. The glove
that's
black.
The problem right there.
The Cubs symbol?
Anything that would help the Cubs do well, I am against.
So they
any
they
other team you're fine.
Quoted
yeah.
they quoted the Cubs manager Craig Counsell as saying the issue was the American flag was on his glove. Pitcher's gloves are pretty strict about not having anything white on the pitcher's gloves. Apparently the flag had what could be a distraction to the hitter. I wonder if one of them put an American flag on their uniform. Of course, that's strictly controlled, too.
Couldn't it then be like on their, like if they're worried about pitching, okay, put a giant patch of the American flag on the back of your leg so that if you're pitching, you're not going to see that, and therefore they can't say it'll be a distraction to the batter.
So they had to find him a different glove, right? And they went in to the clubhouse, and the only glove they could find him was one that was brand new. They had to find one that didn't have a flag on it. So it wasn't broken in. Like if you've ever used a baseball glove that's not broken in, it's kind of stiff. It's a little harder to catch the ball. It's not as pliable.
It needs to sit overnight in linseed oil.
Yeah, and even the pitcher, Little is his name, Luke Little, commented on it. He goes, I had to beat it a little bit to try and get it flexed out. Of all the things to do is breaking in a glove during a game.
Then he posted online saying, proud to be an American. Go
thank
Cubs
you,
go
Luke.
With the American flag.
I like this guy. But I like this guy. We need to hire him in St. Louis. We could use some pitching, right? Thank you. All right.
Once he's here, all that goes away.
There you go, Mo. You've got your marching orders now. Let's bring that guy to St. Louis. We like it. All right. Coming up, we got Ryan Wiggins at 8:35.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.